This is sort of the concluding key section of John 6. Tomorrow, we will hear about everybody who doesn't agree, doesn't get it, doesn't walk with him anymore, and so forth. And that ends chapter 6. We had in the first reading, as you just heard, the conversion of Paul. Now just think about that, huh? Everybody who believed in Jesus, he was trying to get into jail, and maybe worse. And when they killed Stephen, he stood at a distance. They were putting their cloaks at his feet and consented to that, agreed to that. And this is the man that Jesus goes to make his most illustrious preacher. Quite amazing, isn't it? But he's not easy on him. You know, he appears to him on the road. And who are you? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. The first thing he learns is the identity between Jesus and the believers. You see, every prophetic vocation begins with some sort of powerful call. And the germ of that prophetic message is in that call. Isaiah, the majesty, the glory of God. Jeremiah, the call to convert the nations. Amos, the power of God and the intercession of a prophet, and so forth. And that colors their whole prophetic message. Well, the three things that color Paul's is first, the unity, the identity between Jesus and those who believe in him. That's the first thing he learns. Next, of course, is Jesus is alive. He sees that, right? And the third is the complete gratuity of grace. He's out to get the people who believe in Jesus. And Jesus comes to him and saves him from darkness. Complete gratuity. And if you read, and I know you do, his letters, Paul's letters, which are from the Holy Spirit, you can see that these three themes are always present. Because this is a prophetic call. But even as I was listening this morning, he's not easy on Paul. Strikes him blind and sends him into the town to wait until another man comes along, prays over him, restores his sight, and then baptizes him. And then first thing he does, this is Paul, goes right into the synagogue and said, I want to tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. And it begins his life, right? They try to kill him. He tells the Corinthians when he's talking about this, and they let me out. You know, they lowered me in a basket over the wall, so because they were watching all the gates. Anybody, if he was trying to get out a gate, they'd spot him and kill him. So it's interesting to see that how much he loves Paul, our Lord Jesus. And yet, he's not easy with him. You know, you've been killing my people. You've been persecuting me. You stood there and agreed when they killed Stephen. Now, one of the reasons why the Word of God is clear about who Paul was and who he turned out to be is to encourage us. But it's not always easy. He doesn't always do things. Doesn't say, like, would you mind being a better Christian? I mean, he doesn't do that. But it's because he loves us. Because he loves us. And that's such a thrill. Then we have, I have to watch the time, I will. You see, they're all in this synagogue at Capernaum. If you go there, the synagogue you see is a second century synagogue, very fancy thing. Under it is a synagogue where Jesus was. It's sort of like the wall, the foundation of the old synagogue expanded is the foundation of this new synagogue, second century, kind of new, which is also not used. It's in ruins too. So that's where he was, okay? These last words could not be clearer, right? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. We need so much help to understand what we're doing and who we are, and then what our responsibilities are to all this world. You know, I mean, you read the paper or watch the TV, you do something. You know, those people killed in Boston. What a perverted, they haven't caught the people or even know who they are or why they did it. But what a way to wait for a group of people to watch as the people run this race and then kill them. Kill them. This is the way to overthrow a nation. So everybody's quite concerned to catch them and tell the whole world, we got them, and you got two or three of them. How many are out there whose lives are so mixed up, whose minds are so twisted? All they want to do is destroy. So we have to pray for them.